The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. And you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Gordon Brown, John Babb and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Brighton and Ripon in the afternoon, Yarmouth and Jumps Racing from Southwell in the evening. Four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Stephen Paul. How are you, Stephen?
Very good, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. Following another fairly busy weekend of racing and a busy week really in total. We're going to do the Monday jury, which we'll reflect on some of that and also look ahead to the Derby. It's the start of Derby week as well, of course. And yeah, we'll do the Monday jury first and then we'll look ahead to Tuesday's racing. Stephen's picked out three races for us, a couple at Ripon and one of them at Yarmouth. So we'll move on to that in due course. But starting with the Monday jury, the first question is about the Derby, only 6 days away or so at the time of publishing this. Who is going to shake up Australia in the Investec Derby, if anyone at all?
I still think, as we discussed about 2 weeks ago now, I think Orchestra will go really well. I also think Kingston Hill will run a good race. And I've always liked True Story, and obviously everyone really likes him after Newmarket, but the Dante run initially was taken at face value as being pretty disappointing. But Kieran Fallon said afterwards he didn't like the ground and he travelled well, and the fact that the Great Gatsby then won the French Derby on Sunday sort of gives it a bit of a boost. So I wouldn't surprise me if any of those three beat him, to be honest. I think they might all be good enough. I don't think Australia's like a superstar.
No.
I think he's obviously a very good horse, and I think he'll win, you know, for several Group Ones, but he's not sort of stratospheric in comparison to the others. So I mean, I don't think anyway, and I'm sort of a wait to see if I'm wrong on Saturday, but I've got a feeling I won't be.
Okay. I feel like Kingston Hill is a little bit of a forgotten runner in the Derby.
Yeah,
he's 10-1 at the moment. He has shortened in the betting, but nobody seems to be mentioning him too much. I mean,
he won the best trial for the race, yeah, in the Racing Post Trophy. He ran a very good race, I thought, in the Guineas. Having got outpaced, he was running on again at the end, and the Guineas was never going to suit him really anyway. And he went and worked around the course last week. I don't think there's a great deal wrong with him, to be honest.
Okay, so we'll give you a couple against the field then. Kingston Hill, True Story and Orchestra, did you say?
Yeah, those would be the trio. Yeah, those would be the trio. I was going to try and eliminate one, but I don't really want to be honest, because he'd probably eliminate the one that might.
Yeah.
So whether I'd back all three is a different question. So
okay,
it depends as well what Ryan Moore rides, obviously, because Joseph is going to be on Australia, but then Ryan Moore really has the pick of the other O'Brien horses, and obviously whichever one he chooses to ride is going to shorten a bit. So I mean, he rode Orchestra in the Chester Vars, as he did Rule of the World last year, and stuck with him for the Derby. But obviously Geoffrey Chaucer was a bit of a talking horse and has been backed a bit in recent weeks, so I'm still unconvinced about him at the moment.
Okay. Right, let's move to the Oaks next. And all the money seems to be for Marvellous in the Oaks. Does she tickle your fancy?
Well,
she's now the favourite, by the way, 11-4 market leader, ahead of Togruda, who's 3-1.
I know, but I mean, the Togruda obviously visually was very impressive, but the form has worked out terribly.
Very badly. Yeah.
Very badly indeed.
She was so impressive.
But she was so impressive, exactly. And, you know, it's that old story of she can only beat what's put in front of her sort of thing. Marvellous, obviously, I don't know if they maybe surprised Ballydoyle or not when she won the Irish Guineas, partly because she was such a big prize, but then I think, well, Ryan Moore was on her, so she was obviously kind of the second string.
Yeah.
So I don't really know if they know what or how good she is. In theory, on pedigree, the Derby, the Oaks trip, or the Derby trip's the same, could possibly stretch her. She's out of a Giant's Causeway mare, and obviously Giant's Causeway was a mile a 10 furlong horse, by Galileo, so everyone automatically, you know, presumes that she's going to stay. I'd still rather stick with Togruda or Tarfasha, I think, personally, because I think they might improve more for the step up in trip.
with those two is the issue of the ground, though. If it becomes too testing, both John Gosden and Dermot Weld have voiced concerns about soft ground for both.
Yeah, Tarf Asher, the ground wasn't... There was some cut in the ground when she won at Navan. I'd be less concerned about Tarf Asher than Tegruder, I have to say. Okay. Just generally overall in terms of the form line as well. But obviously Aidan O'Brien has done it with horses before where she won the Irish Guineas and then won the Oaks with Imagine in 2001. So I think she's worthy to be in the top half of the betting, you know, the top three or so.
Okay.
But she doesn't excite me very much at the moment, but she's only had three runs. You know, she came on a fair bit for that first run. I don't know, that's tricky. It's a lot more tricky than the Derby. I'm very easy to take on, I think, with Australia, but with her, I'm not so sure.
Fair enough.
I know that's a bit of a vague answer, really, but it's because I'm not...
It's not about being a politician.
Yeah, I know. It's not. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Well, there you go. Who do you fancy for the Coronation Cup? It looks a little bit of a match. Oh, with the two talking horses, will be Ruler of the World and Cirrus de Zegler.
Cirrus de Zegler.
Yeah. Yep. He's right back to his best, isn't he?
Well, it seems to be. Yeah, he's flying, isn't he, at the moment? He stays tough, hardy. Ruler of the World, very disappointing in Dubai. I know Aidan O'Brien's got a great record in the Coronation Cup, he really has, but I just think Cirrus de Zegler, you know, he's solid, hardy. He's had two good races this season. The Prix d'Espagne particularly was quite impressive, I thought, in the end. And while he's racing like that, I've got no, you know, I'm not inclined to take him on at all, really.
Okay.
I'm still not sure about Ruler of the World. I still don't know if he was a ropey Derby winner or a good one, and we haven't seen the best of him. I think I'm erring towards the former.
Yeah.
Not ropey, but average.
Well, yeah. He's not the best Derby winner we've seen, I don't think.
Oh, God, no.
But he has he's run some encouraging races in defeat at times.
Yeah, he has, yeah. But he's running races in defeat as though he's an average or below average Derby winner.
Okay. Who do you fancy for the Epsom Dash? Nice and easy, this one.
Is it?
No. it was ironic.
Yeah. Poor. I don't know. Something that's run well there before. Smooth Talking Rascal, if he runs. Right. Just a name that comes to the top of my head. What about Stone of Falker? He won it 2 years ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
I've backed Captain Dunn in it for about the last 4 years, but I don't think he's fast enough anymore.
No.
So, I just like watching the
Dash. A lot of it depends on the draw, doesn't it, as well?
Yeah. I don't know why I've backed Captain Dunn, because I don't like sprint races generally. Although the Dash is one that I do like, just because it's, you know, the uniqueness of it. But in terms of asking for the winner, asking the wrong person.
Yeah. David Carr sums it up quite nicely. He says it's a brave pundit who nominates the winner with 2 furlongs to run, let alone 16 in advance.
I mean, he's gone from horses who are 3 lengths clear at the furlong pole and one who's 10 lengths behind him has got up to win by a nose. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, I've commentated on it twice and literally, you know, I've been on the verge of having to change my underwear afterwards because it's scary.
Right.
I'd rather do the National on my own than do the Dash, I think.
Yeah.
So just because you've got time to recover if anything goes wrong with the Dash.
No time, yeah.
No.
It is, in fact, a Dash, yes.
Yeah.
Richard Hannan thinks his Tiggy Wiggy will take all the beating in the Queen Mary. Do you agree?
She's very impressive, actually, wasn't she, really, at Sandown? I mean, you could possibly put that down to the fact that, A, the ground's very soft, and B, she handled it better than the others. If she's better on better ground, then in theory she should win again, but I think there might be one or two horses who, if we get to Ascot, the ground's decent, may possibly show better than they have or improve form.
Yeah, well, Richard Hughes did say that she loved the ground, didn't she?
Yeah.
So if it does get...
Yeah, exactly. If it's soft, I think she'll be really hard to beat. Very, very difficult. If it's not, I'd be concerned that there might be a lurker.
Okay. And the final question of this week's Monday Jury, is Henry II scorer Brown Panther good enough to win the Gold Cup?
Yes, I think he probably is good enough. Whether he's good enough and whether he will, though, is another question. I think he is good enough, yes, but I don't think he will.
Right. Who do you think will, then?
Well, it's going to be an interesting one. Leading Light, I thought, to be honest.
Yeah.
Obviously, stamina's a big question for him and Brown Panther. Estimate it's not four. Obviously won the race last year. The concern about her is that she hasn't had a run yet, and Sir Michael Stein's horses have all been coming on for a run. Yeah. So I'd maybe prefer if she'd have run already. I think Tac de Watron won a great race as well.
Yeah, if it's soft, I'd be siding with Tac de Watron.
Yeah, and the Yorkshire Cup form's already had a bit of a boost as well.
Yeah.
So
he was staying on late in the day there as
he
well.
He really was,
Step
yeah.
up in trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he placed over the trip last year in France. So
Yeah,
I do like Tac de Watron.
Yeah, and he won the same race at Ascot, the Estimate one.
Yeah, he did. The Cigaro, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Okay, fair enough. That's the Monday jury then for another week. We will move on to Tuesday's racing in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Tuesday's racing. Stephen's picked out three races for us, two of them at Ripon and one of them at Yarmouth. The first of them is the 325 at Ripon, and this is a Class 4 handicap over the extended mile and one furlong, and seven of them in the lineup, which kind of tempers enthusiasm from an each way angle, but there's probably going to be a short price favourite here anyway in the shape of San Moritz.
Yeah, I think he will be very short indeed, Mark St. Moritz, in this contest over just short of 10 furlongs. He won by 8 lengths at Redcar last time, having slid down the handicap really rapidly in the last 12 months or so. Won there, thrown in on the best of his old form, winning handicaps off high 90s and low 100s. I know he's not that good anymore, because he isn't, but the way he bounced back, if he's boosted his confidence under that penalty. I mean, he won over course and distance off 95 just over a year ago.
Yeah.
I can't believe he's regressed that much in such a short period, and I do think it'd be very hard to beat. The one
he had the visor on for the first time last week as well, so
yeah,
that has a similar effect, just perks him
yeah.
up a little bit.
Not convinced it has the same effect second time up as it does first, like
no.
a lot of things,
yeah.
but if it has some effect, yeah, he's going to be hard to beat, very hard. None of the others, even at their very best, could have lived with him last year, really. Well, early last year and the year before that. Of the others, though, I do think number six may be me. Mary obviously won at Beverley last time out. She's up £7 for that win at Beverley, but she did win going away quite comfortably. And her only win away from Beverley, where she's won six times, was here at Ripon over this course and distance. So I'd maybe follow her to chase home St. Moritz, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think those two in a nice little forecast would be the way to go.
And she follows your...
She does, yeah. She also,
trend.
Nice. Mary, who's won last time out and he's in a bit of form.
Yeah.
Great.
Great. Everyone loves that. The 325 then probably should go the way of Sam.
Yeah. So. Just to mention two others, Life and Times, his best form's on the all-weather. He hasn't even remotely matched it on turf so far, so he's got something to prove. King of the Celts, he shaped well first time up at Donny, but not so good at Beverley last time. He is below his last winning mark, but I think he'll have to go a fair bit to beat the other two.
Okay. Fair enough. Right, let's move on to the 355 next. And this is a Class 3 handicap over a mile, and nine of them in the lineup for this one. Who'd you like here, Stephen?
Oh, some great old names in this, Mark. The like of Smarty Socks, Osteopathic Remedy, Ginger Jack, etc. Dubai Dynamo down the bottom. Osteopathic Remedy always sort of catch the eye because you see course and distance 4 next to his name. But that 4 wins over course and distance have all been in the same race. August Bank Holiday weekend, he's won the Rip and Rolls handicap 4 times, and elsewhere at Rip and otherwise his form's a bit dodgy. Obviously he doesn't mind the course, but it's not his time of year. Smarty Socks, now at 10 years of age, I think might need to come on for the run, and the same for Suits Me on his seasonal debut at the age of 11. Bold Prediction's been very consistent this year. One at Wolverhampton, third in the Thirsk Hunt Cup, second over course and distance. Both races that I think were arguably slightly better than this one. Obviously, though, the handicap is just nudging him up here and there. Ginger Jack was a good second over this course and distance on seasonal debut as well. Wasn't beaten far in the Zetland Gold Cup 8 days ago. I think he's about 7 lengths behind Cash Point over 10 furlongs. I think he's better over a mile, so he'll be better coming back to Ripon. Hit the Jackpot has improved for a big drop in trip this season. He's been campaigned over 16 and 18 furlongs last year. Dropped back to 10 furlongs and 9 furlongs to win his last two pretty impressively. Obviously, he's not far off going to be going into some really good races, and this might be his last chance to win before the handicapper gets hold of him. Whilst King Taurus, only up £2 to his win at Newcastle, and a repeat of that will probably see him in the frame, but I don't think he's quite going to be just good enough to win. The three that I've sort of lent to, Bold Prediction, Ginger Jack, Hit the Jackpot. I think I might side with Ginger Dak, take a little bit of a chance with him. As I say, he ran well here first time up, and he wasn't beaten far at Redcar last week in a better race than this. And I think, you know, he might just, if everything drops right for him, might be able to just put his head in front. Obviously, very wary of hit the jackpot, but I think if he does win at Ripon, it will be his last win of this sequence.
Right.
So I think he's sort of on the edge of, he's either going to just scrape home and that'll be it, or he'll bomb out. I don't think he's got another impressive win in him personally.
Okay, so I'll take a bit of a chance on Ginger Jack.
Yeah, maybe each way, hopefully, at a decent price.
Yeah, hopefully so. That's a 3.55 at Ripon then. On to the 6.55 at Yarmouth. This is a Class 4 handicap over the extended mile, 3 yards longer than a mile. And 8 of them in the lineup here, Stephen. Which ones do you like?
The ones I don't like are, I'll start with number 7, Afcar. Very positive booking in Ryan Moore. Second over 7 furlongs here at Yarmouth last time out. But he's only won once from 28 starts. And he's just not a horse that is likeable, to be honest. He doesn't win often enough, to be fair. Tight-lipped, he's inconsistent. And again, he's got a poor strike rate as well. He's only won twice in over 30 starts. But he has got the ability to run well if he decides. But there's a question mark over whether he will, considering that he actually ran well last time. So it's either going to go one way in that he sort of came back to a bit of form and he might carry it through, or he'll just disappear off the radar again. And Evident, lightly raced, Mike Monfrey 6th on his first run 17 days ago. That was at Newmarket, and he was only beaten 4 lengths that day. And he's, you know, there might be a bit more to come from him. He's only 4, and as I say, hasn't had many runs. Genius Boy fits into the same category in that this is actually his first season. One first time up at Wolves. Not better than that in his 3 runs since then, which were satisfactory starts. Bred to get a lot further than this, but when he'd been tried ever further last twice, he doesn't seem to have got home, so they're dropping him down. Handicap has left him on 71, which was his opening mark, and I think he could maybe just do with a pound or two back. I mean, if he dropped to 70 and went into a 0-70, I think he'd have a great chance. But I think he might find a couple too good again here. Okay. And hopefully the one he does is number 1, 1 Pecan for Roger Varin and Andrea Azzini. Has always looked highly handicapped since he won his maiden at Epsom last year. But slowly the handicap has been relenting. This is the lowest mark he's run off in a handicap of 80. And thus it's his first run in a 0-80 contest as well. And I think that might just be enough to get him home in front, hopefully.
Okay. And I don't know if you want people read too much into it, but the last 3 winners of this race have all been 4-year-olds as well. So,
so
open to those that could improve. Maybe.
Well, that includes 1 Pecan, so.
It does, yes.
Fingers crossed, Mark.
Okay, let's just have a quick summary then, Stephen, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, 3.25 at Ripon. St. Moritz going to be very hard to beat. Maybe me to follow him home. 3.55 at Ripon. I'm going to side with Ginger Jack each way in quite a tricky little affair. And in the 6.55 at Yarmouth, 1 Pecan down to the lowest grade he has contested so far. And hopefully that'll be good enough to see him win.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you very much, Stephen. Enjoy it on Tuesday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Gordon Brown, John Babb and Darren Owen in the studio. It's Brighton and Ripon in the afternoon, Yarmouth and Southwell in the evening. 4 meetings to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.